because, man, if somebody, you know, the thing is today you're running into a time where people don't really like preaching.
Yeah, you're right, brother.
And people don't want to hear it. And if something rubs them the wrong way, it's like Billy Sunday said one time. He said, all these cats tell them I rub them the wrong way. He said, they need to turn around.
Yeah.
Turn around, man.
Yes,
and the thing is, they don't like preaching because, man, they're not turned right. Yeah, and so when you get turned right, you like right preaching.
Yeah.
And right preaching comes right out of that Bible right there.
Amen.
And I wish that I could be like old Joe Osteen, you know, always talking positive. He's not a preacher. He's a motivational speaker, you know.
Yeah.
And he gets up there and you can, you know, have your best life now. What about these folks over there suffering persecution? Go over and preach that to them one time. And the thing is, y'all, you've got to have a little bit of negative. I'm going to give you a little negative on the end, but we can end positive. The thing is... I believe a little different. A lot of folks, I believe in the power of negative thinking instead of positive thinking. The reason why is the gospel. You think about it, it's 2/3 negative. Christ died, that's negative. He was buried, that's negative. But then he rose again. The positive outweighs the negative. So it's 2/3 negative. I mean, you got these people nowadays, they won't think positive. You got to think negative before you can even come to Christ. You got to realize you're a sinner. That's negative.
Yeah.
And man, you can't even start your car without a negative charge. You got to have a negative and a positive.
Yeah.
And this world is just, they don't want to look at the things how it really is. They just want to look and say, well, that, you know, that just kind of sounds good. Let me look at the good part there. But you got to look at the bad first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And friends, we're going to look at some bad and some good tonight together. And so y'all just bear with me and we'll read these verses and pray. Let's stand together. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. For the reading of God's Word, we'll read 4 verses and pray. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. I'm going to go and read verse 5. It says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so very much, dear Lord, for what you've allowed us to experience here tonight, Lord. I thank you so much for this singing. I thank you for those who come out tonight, Lord. I know that they could be doing something else, dear Lord, but of their own free will, dear Lord. They came out and wanted to hear your word, but we know no one is here by accident.
Yeah.
And Lord, I just pray that you would be speaking to the hearts, Lord, as your word goes out. Lord, I'm just a man. I can't do anything. And Lord, more than that, I'm a sinful man, dear Lord. I need you.
Lord.
I can't do anything without your spirit, dear Lord. I pray that you would have full sway. Lord, save the soul nearest hell.
Yes.
And Lord, I just pray, dear Lord, that you would just work in and through these lives tonight, dear Lord, and just meet with us tonight. We'll give you the glory, honor, and praise for it, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The thing is, the Bible just told you here that there's going to come a departing from the faith in the latter times. Now, that's what you're seeing today. It's going to get so bad to the point where Jesus Christ said, he said, when I come back, shall I find faith on earth? It's going to get so bad that when he comes back, it's not going to be much around. It's going to be a thing that's just not heard of so much. Why? It's because people are departing from the word. You say, how do you know that? Because Amos 8:11, I believe it is, said that there's going to come a time where there's a famine, not of bread, but for hearing of God's word.
Yeah.
Hey, God's word's always going to be there.
Yeah,
the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will always be here. So
Amen. It's
going to be a departing there from the hearing of God's word. Nowadays, it's hard to get many folks to come. I thank God for everybody that's here. And it's a good crowd here tonight, but most of the time, it's just about anywhere you go where Bible's being preached and the old hymns are being sang. And they're not going by programs. They're not going by, this is a modern program that what they're doing is, you just can't hardly find people that want that. Why? They say, well, I got to have something there for my family. And I got to have some. They don't have anything there for the kids, so I can't. Now, hold on just a minute now. What is church for? Is church for you to get in there and get a program and have a great big old time? Or is church for you to learn about God and to study God's Word and sing the hymns of God? And friends, what's happening is people's consciences are so seared they don't think anything's wrong with it. And they'll tell you just right quick, and they say, well, we just don't have time to go. I don't have time to go. But I guarantee you this, you let them get in the hospital or something like that, guess what they want? They want prayer then. And friend, what happens is the conscience gets seared, and whenever they get away from God's Word, they start starving, and guess what happens? If you're saved, God is going to chastise you.
That's right.
And God's going to get a hold of you. Thank God for that.
Thank God for it.
And friend, it's telling you that there's going to come a time in the latter times, and we're right smack dab in the middle of it. We're not headed to it. We're right in the middle of the thing. And he said they're going to be departing, and people are so confused. Most folks, as far as Bible doctrine, is confused a termite and a yo-yo. They don't know where they're going. They don't know anything. You know, most folks, you ask them, you say, well, what are you? Well, I'm a Baptist. Okay, why? Why? Why are you a Baptist? You ever thought about that? Why? Can you tell me why you believe what you believe? The Bible said every man's supposed to have an answer.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, most folks live like an atheist. I wouldn't call anybody in here out, but I want to ask you this. If I were to come to you, or somebody were to come to you, and they would say, give me three verses on bring up children. Well, they're in there. I know they're in there. But could you give three verses? You say, well, I like sports. Well, can you give me three Bible verses on sports? You say, well, I like to do this. I like to do that. Can you give me three Bible verses on that? Just three. They're in there. They're in there. Paul will tell you, run the race. Sports, man. Hey, Paul says exercise, sports. And friend, all things are in that Bible right there.
That's
right. And friend, most people, they live their life and they say, well, I just believe old so-and-so over here and I believe this and they don't check on anything. Friend, you better check and realize what you believe and know why you believe it. Why? There's seducing spirits out there, and buddy, they'll teach you a doctrine of a devil in a heartbeat. You know what they use? Good and godly men. You hear them, they say, well, that's a good godly man. You know what the Bible says over in Job? Great men are not always wise.
There you go.
If somebody ever questions that Bible right there, I just say, well, he may have done this and he may have done that. But the Bible says great men are not always wise. Anytime you get a man up there and he gets pricked in God's Word, that's a doctrine of the devil. What's the first thing Satan did? You want to know the first thing that accompanies apostasy? Satan said, yea. He said, yes, man. That's an Ouija board. You ever heard of those Ouija boards? They're of the devil.
Yes.
You know what that is? That's a yes, yes board. Ouija, that's a French, yes. Ja, that's German, yes. It's a yes, yes board. And that thing, it will deceive you. And what I'm saying is now everybody, it's all positive, positive, positive. And friend, you can't get right with God. If you're going to get right with God, you got to get the negative first.
Yeah.
You got to come in and you got to come to Him and say, Lord, I need you. And Lord, I can't do anything without you. Positive thinking will get you killed.
Oh,
you got over there in the Old Testament, you got a man, Goliath, and that man was huge. And here he is, he's thinking so positive, he's thinking so highly of himself. Nobody can whip me, nobody can whip me, he says. And he says, man, just send your best man down. Nobody can whip me. Here comes God, and God says, David, go down there and get him right quick. Saul says, put my armor on, David said, I hadn't proved it, I'm going down there on my own, I got God's armor on. They couldn't see it, but David could see it. And here comes David, and the thing is, everybody says, man, I just need a smooth path, I need a smooth path. Guess what kind of stone killed Goliath? It was a smooth stone.
Yes, sir.
Friend, I tell you what, sometimes I'm learning this right here. We're learning it together. Some of the best things that can happen to you is a rough time together.
Yeah.
But it'll mold you in the fire, mold you closer together.
Yeah.
You know what you'll find out? Y'all in here who's married, things like that. When did y'all get the closest? When y'all were in a hard time together.
Yep.
Why? You realize that one sitting beside you really loves you.
Woo. Yeah, come on.
Friend, you find out what they're made of when you're going through things. You find that's the one that loves me. That's the one that really cares. Why? She's still sitting beside me.
Yes.
He's still sitting beside me. After all that stuff we went through together, you'll find out who your friends are.
Amen.
Not the smooth times. Anybody can stay around when it's smooth. It's when it gets tough, friend. It's when it gets tough.
Amen.
And you know what you'll find out about the Lord? The Lord is there in your roughest times. It's him that's going to stand by you. And you say, well, what about my family? You better make sure you're with the Lord. That way your family can hold together. Why? The Bible says through him, that's Jesus, all things consist. Friends, that means hold together.
Yeah,
he holds it together. He's the one holding your family together if it's going to stay together. He's the one holding your church together if it's going to stay together. He's the one holding anything together. Why in him all things consist? And you say, well, I need some doctrine. Everybody in here needs some doctrine on. He's the doctor. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's so good. He's the great physician. There ain't never been another physician like him. You think about it. Here comes Malchus. Over here against him in the garden. And he's standing there, and Simon Peter takes his sword out.
I like it. That's good.
He dodges like it's right here. Simon Peter was going to cut his head off. He dodged like it right there and cut his ear off. You know what Jesus did? No needle, no thread, nothing. Just got the ear and just placed it right back
on. Amen, brother.
Maybe he's afraid because you can't get another doctor like that. And friend, you know what? Jesus don't have to have a needle and thread, friend. If you'll come to him, he can put it back together.
Yes,
why, he's the glue. He holds it all together.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And friend, if you're going to not be deceived in these last times, it's going to take Jesus. It's going to take him.
Yeah.
Why? Because, hey, the devil will deceive you with anything he can deceive you with. You think about over there in the Bible, the first thing, just something simple. I can see right now, I can see Eve over in the garden. She's talking to the devil. She should have told him to shut up. I'm telling you. And she told him to just be quiet, man. That's too nice to the devil. You can't talk nice. Just tell him to shut up and go on. All right, the thing is, here he is, and he says, won't you eat a piece of that fruit over there? And she says, well, I was told not to. He did right here. He eats that. It didn't hurt me none. And she says, well, it didn't hurt him. Well, it ain't going to hurt me. So here she is. She eats that fruit. And brother, right then, she knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Adam knew something was wrong. He deceives you in a little thing.
Yeah.
You know what he'll do? If he can deceive you in one little thing, here and there and here and there, they'll compile up. And before long, you're deceived on several things. And before long, you're so wrapped up in sin, you don't know which way's up.
Amen.
Yeah, bro.
And friend, he'll deceive you. And the Bible tells you that there's coming a time, and we're right here in it, where the Spirit speaketh expressly, that there's going to be doctrines of devils. So first thing, that's a long introduction. I know, confusion. The confusion. Now, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings. I believe, like the old man said one time, he was reading his Bible a lot. In 1 Kings 22, I hope I didn't say 2 Kings. 1 Kings 22, this man was talking to some more preachers, and they was talking about all these commentaries they had and everything. And he was getting some light on the Bible that, man, they just couldn't get. So they asked him, they said, man, what are you reading? He said, that the Bible sure do shed a whole lot of light on them there commentaries. And friend, I'm telling you, you get in that Bible and they'll shed a whole lot of light on them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And friend, it's the Bible. You search the Scriptures.
Yeah, wow.
And friend, folks are so scared today to say anything. Instead of being like a sword with one point, they just like a broom, just points all over the place. Well, I don't want to offend this one. I don't want to offend that one. You think God's afraid of offending you?
Right.
And friend, I'm afraid of offending God, what I'm afraid of. So tonight, if I say some things may sound kind of mean and unhurtful, no. That's what the Bible says to do. I mean, you know, you get over there. Well, if I get to talking about this, you think about it. Over in the Bible, Elijah, if y'all like to read about him, 1 Kings 18, people say, don't make fun of other folks' religion and stuff like that. You know what he says? Those prophets up there cutting themselves and everything else. And he says, where's your God? He said, he's making fun of them. He's making fun of them, man.
Yes.
And friends, I'm telling you right now, whenever I make fun of the Pope and stuff like that right there, don't feel sorry for him. That man's leading multitudes to hell every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I don't feel a bit sorry for him. And so anyway, right here in 1 Kings, we got a commentary on this verse here, seducing spirits. Let me tell you what's going on. You got one king about to go to battle. You got another king. He's trying to talk him into it. They want to go up here to Ramoth Gilead to battle. All right, so what happens is all the prophets in verse 6, they're all saying, go on up there. You're going to win. They're preaching that prosperity preaching. You know, we're going to find out. They're saying everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be good. Let me tell you something about life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, everything's not going to be good. It's not going to work out. It's not going to be okay. People say, well, it's going to be okay. Not if Jesus is not around. If you don't have Jesus in your life, everything's not going to be okay. Why? You'll die and go to hell. You'll die and go to outer darkness. You'll die and it'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, come on.
You imagine gnashing your teeth all of your life, all of your existence. You think about 10 million years go by and still gnashing your teeth. Awful. Awful. And friend, here it is. People want to think you got to come to God. It's negative first. You'll get the positive then. So anyway, they're preaching prosperity. And watch this. There's one guy. Thank the Lord. God's always got somebody to preach, man. Thank God. Verse 8, it says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. Yes, sir, you believe it is. It says, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. My, what a man. By whom we may inquire of the Lord. But watch this. He says, but I hate him. Why does he hate it? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me. He don't have anything good to say. That man never says anything good at all. It's always something bad. And he says, I hate him. And friend, you know what you're finding out? The word of God is becoming hate speech today.
Yeah.
You're going to see a time, it wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a time in America where they don't like that Bible. And friend, that thing is going to become illegal just like it's been before. Why? It tells it like it is. It tells who's in the wrong, friend. It tells you got to get right. It tells you got to repent, friend.
Yes, sir.
You get in there, and that's what it says. And he said, Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Oh, now, surely not. Surely he won't say that. Let's fast forward just a little bit over here. Verse 12. It said, and all the prophets, every one of them, prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead, prosper. There's your prosperity preaching right there. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about getting right with God. Don't worry about going to church. Don't worry about getting serious. Everything's going to be okay. And tomorrow's going to be just as good as today. That's what they're preaching. And he says this, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Verse 13, the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spoke unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Watch this. This is what the world wants you to do. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them and speak that which is good.
Oh,
just let your word, just act like everybody else. It'll be okay. If you get in there and you act like everybody else and you act like everything's going to be okay and you don't witness and you don't go to church and you don't serve and you don't pray, everything's going to be okay. That's what they're preaching. Just do however you want to, friend. There won't be no ramifications. But I tell you this. The Bible said that there is a law. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Oh, boy.
And if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you go out there in the field and you sow cotton, you're going to reap cotton. It's a law. You're not going to sow cotton and reap berries. It just don't work.
That's right.
And friend, out there, you may be just as saved and going to heaven, but I'm here to tell you this tonight. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And that's what the Bible said. And no matter how good they tell you, the whole world is trying to make you think that you can do whatever you want to do, and people are still not going to go to hell and things like that. But you know what gets me? Is we can sit in our house, probably everybody in here is going to go home tonight, and you're going to sleep in a comfortable bed. And if you want to, you can get yourself a cold glass of ice water. And if you want to, you can go in there and get some double stuffed Oreos and get a glass of milk and have yourself a big time. But you know what? The sad thing about it is that people are dying and going to hell without Christ.
Amen.
That's the sad facts right there. And the thing is, hey, if you want to enjoy yourself, nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. Don't get me wrong. It's okay. But what I'm saying is, don't lose your concern. Don't let the devil get you so comfortable down here that you forget about over there.
Oh, yeah.
And you forget about how many people there that we want to see on the other side.
Yeah.
How many people we want to see get saved. And how many people we want to see get right with God. Because I can tell you something. If the devil can't, if he can't have your soul, he wants your testimony.
Amen.
Here tonight, if he mess you up, you know what he wants to do. He wants to get you just like Lot. And Lot, here it is in the New Testament, says he was a righteous man. And he vexed his righteous soul, the Bible says, with a filthy conversation of the wicked. So you know what happens? He goes down here, and God said, I'm going to burn him up. He goes down here, and he tries to witness to his kinfolk. And they mocked him. They said, "Man, hold on, what are you talking about here? You've been over there with everybody else. You've been over there in the gate with the sodomites and saying everything's good, everything's good." And then he said, "Well, my testimony's gone." What I'm saying is Lot had to realize his testimony was gone. He couldn't witness anymore. Why? He was saying everything was okay, and it don't matter what the Bible said, even though the Bible condemns it, it condemns it. But you know what he could have done? He could have got right, couldn't he?
Yeah.
You know tonight, don't let it get you down. Don't say, "Hey, well, I haven't been doing about this, and I haven't been doing about that, and I should have done this." Hey, tonight you can get it right. You say,
"Amen.
What, from this day forward, I'm going to do right.
Amen.
From this day forward, I'm going to
yes,
do right." Why?
Yes,
because we're in the latter times, friend, and you got to redeem the time, and you got to show the Lord, "Lord, I'm serious about you." And
yeah.
You know what you'll do? If the Lord will take that. Why? Because the Lord sees your heart. The Lord sees your heart, friend.
Amen.
And it's not too late. You're still here tonight. It's not too late to get right with God. But I tell you what, once you get on the other side, that's it. That's it. And here they are. They're prophesying good. It says this. And Micaiah said, verse 14, "And the Lord, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, thank God for a preacher. That will I speak." I thank God that there's some men out there who's not worried about people's feelings, and who's not worried about what this one thinks and what that one thinks, who's not worried about how much money they're going to get and things like that. They'll say, "Whatever God says to me, that's what I'm going to speak, friend."
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm telling
yeah.
you why. Because there's souls in the balance, friend.
Yeah, yes,
if you've ever been
yes,
out there in the world, you know what all sin you can get into, and what all depravity. The devil don't care about you, and he don't care about your family. If he could get away with it, he'd cut your throat and watch you bleed and watch you die. Friend, he don't care about you. But I tell you what, you can get right with God, and God will lead you up to folks, man, who care about you. He'll pray with you, who love you.
Amen.
And friend, I wouldn't trade 5 minutes of this life for 5,000 years of that old life. Why? I was serving the devil. I want to serve God. And friend, right here, he was speaking what the Lord said. Now watch this, verse 16. The king's asking him, "What do you think we ought to do?" Verse 16, well, I'm just going to read verse 15 for fun. "So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" Now watch him get sarcastic. "And he answered him, go and prosper." Yeah, he said, just go and prosper. Well, he's being sarcastic. He said, you know what he's saying? That's what you want to hear. And you know what's so bad, y'all? And I've been there. I know it. You can get to the point where you're so calloused in your sin that God said, "Okay, you want to be deceived, I'll just let you be deceived."
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's what your heart wants. God will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
You'll start making excuses for your sin.
There you go.
And you'll say, "Well, I'm all right. That ain't what the Bible says. It says in the Greek and the Hebrew." And you don't even read Greek and Hebrew. I got a perfect English Bible. I talked to a guy one time. He was talking about all that stuff. And he said, "Well, you know, over there it says in the Greek." And I said, "Really? Do you read Greek, sir?" And I got me a Greek New Testament there. And I said, "Oh, read that for me, please, sir." "Well, I can't read that." I said, "Don't correct my Bible then." And friend, that makes me mad. You know why it makes me mad? Because, friend, you got these folks making out like they're smart. And they don't know come here from sickle. And they get up here, and they make out like they know all that stuff.
Come on,
and
man.
Friend, I got right there, and I had a man, I said, "I tell you what, I hear, I guarantee you, I'd rather know my ABCs and go to heaven than my Greek and Hebrew and go to hell."
Yeah,
there's a whole
yeah,
lot of folks
yeah.
getting up there saying a whole bunch of stuff they don't know. Why? Because they're like all those other prophets out there. Friend, I'm telling you right now, you got all you need right there.
Amen.
And God will let you be deceived if your heart wants it. It says, "For the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Verse 16, "And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing?" But watch this. This is how you can tell it. "But that which is true in the name of the Lord." You know how the king knew when Micaiah was speaking right? Micaiah would always say, "Because the Lord says, because the Lord says." You know what we do? We say, "Because the Bible says." Not because I feel this or I feel that or I think this or I think that. It's because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
And the Bible says
Amen,
so.
Preacher.
There are basic instructions before leaving earth. And friend, I'm telling you right now, it's what the Bible says. That's what goes. But guess what? They wanted to be deceived. Now we're talking about in the last days seduction. If you want to be deceived, you'll get deceived. Watch what happens. The Bible says, "And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, and let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Mm. See there? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand, on his left. And the Lord said, watch this. Who shall persuade Ahab? Here's all these spirits. Here's the Lord up here on his throne and all these spirits come up. And he said, who's going to persuade Ahab? Well, Ahab was wanting a deception, to be deceived. So this is what happened. That he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. One sat on this manner, and the other sat on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. How are you going to do it, spirit? And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. You know what you'll find in that text right there? One spirit jumps in the mouth of all those false prophets. You've ever heard some of these people, some of these preachers get up and they'll say, there's a spirit going on right now and you need to watch that thing. And they'll tell you and warn you of it, and people say, surely not. How could one spirit get in the mouth of all these people? What's he talking about, one spirit? Those spirits are powerful enough, one of them can get in the mouth of all those prophets. And you know what your job as a Christian is to do? Your job as a Christian is to find out what the spirit of this world is and go directly against it.
Amen.
Go directly against it. Mm. Whatever the world's doing, you go the right opposite. Why? Jesus said that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. All I got to do is I got to look at it and say, how is the world taking that thing? And I'm going to say, that's wrong, because if the world accepts it, the world's against Christ, and I'm against that spirit right there. Friend, if you don't want to be deceived today, and if you will let the devil harden your heart, he'll do it. He'd love to do it. Why? He'd love to fool you. You know why? Husbands in here, you have to heed to God's word. Why? Because the devil knows if he can get you, he can get your wife. And if he can get your wife, he can get your kids.
Yeah.
And then if he can get y'all, then he can get your parents, because your parents will get upset because y'all are going through what you're going through. And before long, he can get a whole multitude of people. Why? By just getting one day.
Yeah.
And friend, you got to be so careful. Why? Because the devil wants to deceive you. And friend, if you open yourself up for deception, he would love to give it to you. Why? Through a lie. One little old lie. All it takes is, well, you know, I got to make a living, you know. Mm. Well, hold on just a minute now. I know you got to make a living. Yes, sir. And the Bible says a man won't work, neither should he eat.
Right.
But the thing is, if your working is interfering with God's call on your life, and if your working is interfering with you serving God, you need to get another job.
Yes, sir.
And why? Because duty is never conflict.
Amen.
You know how I can tell whenever the Lord is got me doing one thing or the other thing? I got two roads like this right here. And all I got to do is say, which one do I go down? Duty is never conflict. God will never make you do one thing and say, well, you got to do this and this at the same time. He'll say, you either do this one or you do that one.
Yes, sir.
That's how he is. Why? He leads you on a straight path.
Straight
a straight path.
Yes.
He'll let you know. But you know what the devil does? He's the author of confusion. And the devil will come in. He'll say, no, hold on just a minute now. Maybe you need to go over there. Maybe you need to go over here and do this. But you know what God's saying? God's saying, you know what you're supposed to do. Go the way I told you to go. And friend, there's confusion there. Now I want to say something about that confusion. You can literally offer up sacrifices to the devil. He can get you, the devil can get you so confused that you're offering up things to the devil that you're supposed to be offering up to God. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. How could a Gentile in the church age, we don't have an altar like that, we can't offer up those sacrifices like they did. How could a Gentile offer up sacrifices to devils? Well, the Bible tells you in 1 Peter chapter 2 to offer up spiritual sacrifices. One of them is your body in Romans chapter number 12.
Yep.
It says offer up your body.
Mm.
Friend, if you don't offer up your body, what good are you to the Lord here on earth? If you're not giving him your hands and your feet and your eyes and your thoughts and everything else, you know what you're doing? You are giving your body as a sacrifice to the devil. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. Another thing the Bible says, offer up the sacrifice of praise. You know what? Praise is just bragging on somebody. Whenever we're bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's praise. That's praise to him. So you know what gets me? Is people start singing the songs of praise to football players and baseball players. And people start singing the songs of praise to these rock singers and these rap singers and things like that. Friend, if you want to know how in trouble our nation is today, is look at who they worship.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the leaders today.
Yeah,
you got this family. I had never watched their show or anything, but I know they're of the devil. These Kardashians, they say.
Get on it, Chase.
Well, they named that family the first family. What kind of nation are we living in? Those folks are full of the devil. If you're watching that show, you'll get full of the devil just like
you're right, brother.
And friends, I'm telling you what now. I'm telling you, I've listened to that junk before. And you listen to that rock music, and guess what happens? Your life will be on the rocks.
Yeah.
And you listen to rap music and you'll get wrapped up in sin you never thought you'd get wrapped up. Why? It's of the devil, friend. It's of the devil. I know it. And I'm telling you, you can offer up sacrifices of praise to the devil. Now people say, now, I don't worship the devil. Let me tell you something. If you're praising those things of the world, you are worshiping the devil. That's what the Bible, I did not say that, the Bible said it. If you are lending your body to the devil, you're worshiping the devil. That's what the Bible says. And friends, you got this one guy, he said, he was talking to his friend, he said, you know what, I need to get in the service for the Lord. And his friend said, well, how long have you been saved? He said, 3 years. He said, well, who have you been serving? Well, friend, it's obvious he's been serving the devil. And friend, what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm trying to warn you that a lot of times you wonder how your life gets so messed up and in such a place and in such a ditch. And you say, how did it get this way? Well, maybe you are worshiping the devil and don't even realize it. Maybe you're listening to stuff you ought not listen to, and that stuff is filling your mind. And you wonder why you can't be filled with God's thoughts because you're so full of the devil. And friend, you wonder why that your body's out of whack and everything else. I'll tell you why, friend. It's because that you may be worshiping the devil. And what I'm saying is there's people that they can't even use their body for the Lord. They can't. They won't use their hands for God. You know, there's people out there who don't have as much as others. And what they got, they use for God. Right. And you know what God does? God's going to give them a body one of these days, friend, that can jump over the stars. You say, is that so? I guarantee you, Jesus, the Bible said we're going to have a body like Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ walked through walls, friend. I'm telling you right now, people don't get excited enough about what you've got in the Lord one of these days. One of these days, friend, on this earth you're going to see bad things, but one of these days it really is going to be all right for the Christian, friend.
Yes, sir.
But this old world here, brother, they want to do whatever they want to do. And the Bible said that they'll be speaking lies. How are we doing over here? Y'all said I didn't have to look at the time, so I'm not going to again. Oh, man. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'll hurry. It says this, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Speaking lies. Guess what? Feigned word. Just lying.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of lies. They're making out somebody who they are really not. I'll read another verse to you. A commentary on that one. Luke 20:20 says, and they watched him, speaking of Jesus, and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, just like Judas did. They're acting like they're somebody they're not, that they might take hold of his word. So you got those two verses as a commentary on speaking lies. Now you know what you have. If you got a whole bunch of people who's one way in church and in another way outside, just be who you are all the time, friend. Be real.
Yeah, right.
If it's not funny, you don't have to laugh. And friend, if it's not sad, don't cry. Just be who you are.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is don't be two-faced. You got so many folks, they say, could those cherubim really have four faces? Of course they could. I know a whole lot of people with two-faced. Friend, I'm telling you right now, friend, you ought to be, don't be a hypocrite. Why? Because, friend, a hypocrite just acting like somebody who they're really not. Just if you're nice, be nice. If you're mean, just be mean till God cleans you up. Don't act like you're somebody you're not. Why? That's speaking lies. And friend, a spirit's got you deceived if you're being like that. Just be who you are. Be who you are. God's made you special.
Yes, sir.
And you got all these crazy doctrines today. You know, I tell you, some of that stuff just makes me so mad. Let me tell you one thing. False doctrine makes me mad. Why? Because souls are in the balance.
Yeah.
You got these folks that teach water baptism, and they always say baptized. They can't say baptism. They always say baptized.
Yeah.
Why? They all speak about the same Spirit. Well, friend, what I'm trying to say is, if that Bible teaches you that you are saved by grace through faith, then what? Not of yourselves.
Amen.
Friend, you got to be crazy to debate some of these folks. This one man was witnessing to some Indians here a little while back. He's up there trying to talk to them about the Lord. And he was telling them how to be saved and things. And they didn't know hardly anything about the Bible. And they're up there just listening, you know. Well, here comes some Carmelites in the door back there. And they believe that water baptism, you know. So they said, what about 1 Peter 3:21? He's trying to witness, you know. He said, well. They said, what about Mark 16:16? He's trying to speak there. They said, what about Acts 2:38? He said, what about Hallelujah 3:5? He said, what about 3 Nehemiah 4:16? He said, what about 5 John 6:12? Boy, they just smoke rolled out their ears and they just walked out of the building. Why? Because, man, that's all they're doing. They're just quoting verses out of context. Most of them don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And friend, what I'm saying is you're living in a time nowadays where people would love to deceive you for money. You're living in a time nowadays, friend, if you cut on the television and you see on that Daystar and all this stuff and you watch all these people and you let your mind fill with Oprah Cindy and you watch it show with all my illegitimate children and you watch it as the world burns and all that type of stuff, friend, that stuff will mess your mind up. What? Before long, you're believing stuff that you should have never even believed in to begin with.
Yeah.
Life is not like it is on the TV, friends. And you got these people look perfect on TV. Folks don't look like they do on TV, friend. What I'm saying is there's doctrines of devils that people are really believing nowadays. And friend, the world's gone off crazy after it. And you know what happens there? Not only the confusion, the conscience. Verse 2 said their conscience is seared. Now I want to give you its work. The conscience is work quickly. Romans 2:15 says, speaking of the Gentiles, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. Now listen to this. Also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile, this is what your conscience does. Accusing or else excusing one another. Something will hit you, that word of God will hit you, you know what your conscience is going to do? Your conscience is either going to accuse that thing and say, that's wrong, or it's going to excuse and say, don't even worry about it. You know what scares me so bad? It scares me so bad to look out and follow this crowd right here, folks that I love. And man, some of your friends and things like that, you know what gets me? Is I hate to see a conscience get seared over. You know what'll happen to you? You'll get out here and you'll get under a Bible sermon there, and that word of God's hitting your heart, and it's hitting your heart, and you know what you do? If you close that thing off, you're searing your conscience. I have literally seen people sit there on the pew, and they listen to a message, and the first time they come to church, it actually done something. The second time they come to church, they kind of lean back a little bit further. And the third time, it's just bouncing off of them just like water on a duck's back. And they can walk right out of that door and don't bother them a bit.
Yep.
Why? They sear their conscience.
Right.
You know how the devil gets you? I heard a man one time, he was trying to get some old wild hogs hemmed up. And he couldn't get them hemmed up. So a buddy of his come over, his buddy said, I can get those hogs hemmed up for you right now. Won't take me just but a few days. This is how the devil works. Listen now. And so his buddy come over there, and first day he put some big old thing of feed out here, and then he put a fence up right there on the back of that feed over there. Those hogs come in there and they didn't pay that fence a bit of attention. They started lapping up that food. Man, they eat it all up that day. The next day come back and put the side on like this, put a whole bunch of food in there. Those hogs come in there and tore that feed up, man. Well, the next day he come in there and he put another fence on the side like that right there. Those hogs tore that food up, man. He said, we by God them now. That last day they came in there eating that food, you know what he did? He put the backside on and shut the door on them. Had them. You know what the devil does with you? The devil will let you get away with a little bit of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll get away. You say, I'm not letting anything happen to me. I'm getting away with it. And the devil said, oh, we about got them now. And you'll get away with it a little bit more, and you'll get away with it a little bit more, and you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will allow the devil to shut that door on you
yep.
when it's too late.
I can't, brother.
You know what people do? They come to church. Well, I went to church tonight. Everything went good. Oh, okay. Still not saved. They'll go again, and they'll get there, and they'll sit there, and maybe the Lord will deal with them a little bit. And the Bible says, not willing that any should perish. But you know what happens? They harden their heart just a little bit more.
Yeah.
It don't bother them. And then you know what happens there? They've been two or three times like that, and they've seared their conscience over. They can sit in that pew, and that message never bother them, never convict them or anything. And before long, their conscience is so seared, and they die and go to hell, friend. That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Why? Because the devil does that. I'll give you another story there if y'all like stories. I like them. I heard a story about a little duck. He was flying with all his folks, his friends, everything, and his migrate across. And he sees a barnyard there. And that duck flies down on that barnyard. And man, he gets to eating. Oh, man, this is some good feed here. I like this. I like it out here. Well, then, his companions go on. Well, then, whenever they come back the other way, he's eating so much he tries to fly up and he can't get above the eave of the barn. He said, well, I'll just stay here for a little while. Well, you know what he stays there, and the next time they fly over, he can't even hear them anymore. You know what you'll find out? There's been saints of God who said there's been a time in their life when they get excited about the song. They get excited about the preaching. They get excited about hearing the word of God. They get excited about the things of God. And before long, they get full on the world. The Bible says, woe unto you that are full, what? For ye shall hunger.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of folks that get so full on the world that, friend, they can't get full on God. Why? Because if you're full on something, you can't get full on something else.
Yeah, that's right.
And, friend, the conscience gets seared. It gets seared there. I don't have time to go in Ephesians. I thought I was going to have time, but I'll say this about that. That Bible said their conscience is seared. You can take two cups under a waterfall. The Bible says it's like water, Ephesians 5:26. So right now, everybody in here, you're getting a little water poured on you, a little water poured on you like that right there. But you know what you're supposed to do? You can have a waterfall with all kinds of water just flowing over that waterfall, and you can take two cups. You can turn one up like this right here, and you can turn another one down like this right here. The only one that's going to do right, and the only one that's going to get the water, is the one that's turned upside right. The other one, all that water can flow over that cup, and all it does is flow over.
Yeah.
You can look at it, it's still empty.
Pretty good.
You know what the fact of the matter is tonight? If you hadn't been trying to get right with God previously, before you walked in
Preacher.
Here, that water would just pour over you and you're going to walk out of here not changed. That's what's sad. That's what's so sad. I'm going to go ahead and go over it. Ephesians chapter 4 with me. I want to show you this. It's important. Why? Because, friends, I believe that negative preaching will help your soul. Why? Because, man, that Bible is a sword, and if it'll cut you, and you're cut wide open, guess what happened? You come to the great physician, and he heals you. He heals you. Let him heal you. Let him help you. Let him help you. Ephesians chapter 4, I touched on this in some few sermons this week, but I just want to show you this. Why? I want to help you. I hope it helps you. It shows you your conscience can be seared. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, watch this, in the vanity of their mind. Now watch their mind. Having the understanding darkened. What happens is you start walking with an empty mind, guess what happens? People say, just open your mind. Guess what? And you open your mind, the devil pour junk in there. And friend, I'm telling you right now, you know how broad-minded you ought to be? Just like that Bible right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how broad-minded I am right there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be to where the Lord can speak to me. The Bible says you can have your understanding darkened.
Well,
what's understanding? Job 28:28 says departing from evil. You can get to where you don't even want to depart from evil. Why? Your understanding is darkened.
Well,
and the Bible says being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now watch this verse. Who being past feeling. That's what it says. They're past feeling. They can't even feel after God anymore. You know what? Tonight, if you're listening to the songs of God, you're listening to the Word of God, and it's not messing with your heart, and it's not dealing with your heart either. Either accusing or excusing your heart, you've got a problem tonight. And you've got to ask God to get right with it. The Bible says that they're past feeling. They can't even feel after God anymore. You know what's so sad? I hope everybody in here believes in God. But if you can't feel God on the inside, I'm not talking about feeling. What I'm saying is, can God bear witness with your spirit tonight? If not, you've got a serious problem. And friend, I'm telling you right now that this Bible's telling you there that their conscience gets warped. And also, you'll see there that that conscience can get so seared to the point where they can't even feel after God anymore. Now, I know I'm running out of time. I'm going to jump down to another point here. The consistency is thanksgiving there in that text. It tells you to be thankful. Now, if you will, I want to show you something here in Romans. Romans chapter 1. I'm kind of teaching there tonight, but I hope this helps you. Why? Because, friend, this world needs it. This world needs to the fact where people will realize that without God, you can't even feel it. Without God, you can't even have a successful marriage. You can't have a successful anything. Your job's not going to go right. Your walk with God's not going to go right. Why? Because it starts off small. You know what's going to get you during the day? If you're anything like me, you drive up and down Ripley and somebody pulls out in front of you and they turn in the very next place. That gets me about as much as anything. I just want to step on the gas, boom! Right behind. I mean, I know you can't do it, but it makes me mad, man. And what you find out is that little thing there kind of goes under your skin a little bit. You walk in the post office and say, "How you doing today?" And somebody says, "Don't worry about it." Well, I do. Then you go over here to KFC and you order something, and then you order it there, and they say, "Well, it'll be about 10 minutes. Okay, and 20 minutes later, you get your chicken. Well, man, I was hungry. Well, then before long, you get up through there, and some two or three other things happen. Well, before long, the small foxes have gotten you, and you're aggravated. You're aggravated. And friend, if you don't watch that, those little bitty things will get you. Now, I want to show you in Romans chapter 1 how one little thing can get you and get you off track with God. You read over here, and the Bible says that this crowd right here who changed the truth of God into lie, and it says in verse 27, it says, or verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." Even nature knows better. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat." Friend, how did it happen? How did you say, how could that happen? How could somebody get to where they're so bad the animals know better? That's what the Bible said. You know what happens here? They empty their self of God. Look at verse 28. It says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." You know what they do? They say, "Well, that's just the way I'm going to live anyway." And you know what happens? That's what happens to them. Friend, he gives them over to a reprobate mind. And friend, there they go. They go. Now, how did that start? You say, how did they get that bad? How did they get given over to a mind where they do something so evil, so wicked, so gross? How did they get that bad? Look what the Bible said right here in verse 21. This is the start of it. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." They stopped glorifying God. And the Bible says, "Neither were thankful." You know what happened to them? A little bitty thing. They stopped giving God glory. They stopped saying, "Lord, thank you for this water I've got to drink. Lord, thank you for this sandwich I've eaten. Lord, thank you so much." People stopped praying over the meal. "Lord, thank you so much for this bed I've got to sleep in. Thank you so much for this person I'm married to. Thank you so much for our children. Thank you so much for the health you give me. Thank you so much for all these things that you gave me. Thank you for the air you give me to breathe." Why? The very air you breathe is God's air.
Amen.
And friend, if you stop thanking God for it, look at what happens to you. One little thing. I want to show you something here. The Bible says that they became, well, they wasn't thankful. I want to show you that attitude compared to a Christian. Look at verse 8. Romans 1, verse 8. Watch what the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, God used him mightily. Watch what he does. He says in verse 8, First thing I do, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. You see what he's doing? He's thanking God. That man was changed, and that man was used of God. Why? He was thankful. You know what tonight can help you? Start being thankful to God. Start thanking God. Start thanking God for what He's given you, what He's done for you. The very fact that He allows you to read His Word, the fact that you are able to get under the gospel, the very fact that you're able to do what you're able to do every day, the very fact you've got a job, look at your bills paid and all those things, all that come from God. And friend, if you'll thank Him, friend, it'll change your life. Why? I know that because there's a consistency there. Now, I don't have time for all this other stuff because I feel like I need to close, but I'm going to say this right here tonight. Will you tonight start being thankful for what God's given you? Tonight, I don't know what's going on in your family, in your hearts, or whatever, but I can tell you this right here. Thank God for what you do have.
Amen.
If you've got somebody that'll stick beside you through thick and through thin, thank God for them.
Amen.
If you've got a church to go to, thank God for it. Why? Because this world, most people, that if you said, you know what, I'm going to go bulldoze all the churches down. They'd say, don't do that, but then they don't go.
Right.
They don't want churches to be gone, but then they live like there's no churches. What if I said, I'm going to go take all the Bibles up and I'm going to burn every one of them? You say, no, don't do that. But then you don't go home and read it.
Right.
Well, what I'm saying is, friends, we are so blessed right now in America. Our garbage disposal eats more than most of the world.
Right.
I'm serious. We do. It does. We eat that well. Everybody in here can go home and get something to eat. Now, let me ask you this. Are you thankful tonight for what God's done for you?
Oh, amen.
Are you thankful for what He allowed you to have? Are you thankful for those that are around you? Man, I'll tell you what, it just breaks my heart to see the unthankfulness that's going on in our nation. And I'm going to tell you, it's crumbling right before our very eyes.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say this right here for you Christians. Those of you that serve Him, thank God for you. Those, I thank God for all y'all here tonight, because I want to tell you the good news is this. One of these days, Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
The Bible says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You say, how come? I guess they got 6 feet further to come. Then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. My comfort for you tonight is this. One of these days you're going to be able to see God with your own eyes.
Amen.
And He's going to give you a brand new body.
Amen.
And friend, any trouble you have tonight, whenever Jesus comes, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need You. Lord, I pray that You would just bless this time, dear Lord. Bless these people.